Song for every believer to understand. No matter what you're going through, we need to be still and know that God is God. Be still. I love that. You know what? He's going to faithful remain, and we need to leave to thy God to order and provide. That's what we need to leave to him. Let him do the work. So many times we want to jump in and do it on our own, but it's time to leave it to the Lord, and we're trying to do that as well. Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And as I mentioned, this passage is very key in how we relate in the church. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. I want you to think through your dealings in church and how you talk to people and how you fellowship and communicate before, after. And I want you to think through, how do you respond when somebody comes up to you and tells you something? You know, inevitably in church, sometimes somebody will tell you something that's maybe encouraging, but sometimes somebody will say something and maybe they don't have any bad intentions, but they'll walk away and your feelings will, at least you'll be tempted to be hurt, okay? And so what we're dealing with here is living in the Spirit or living in the flesh. And I will say that how, you know, whether you live in the flesh or the Spirit is going to have a major impact on other people. And so by God's grace, we live in the Spirit. And so this morning we're going to be looking here at this passage and hopefully making it very simple for you, but looking how we can relate and so that we can be a blessing to the people. Does not God ask for us in the church to edify rather than tear down, okay? And so everything that we do needs to be on the edifying side, on the building up side. When people walk away from us, they should be encouraged in the Lord somehow. Even if it's very simple, it's one or the other. Are they encouraged or are they discouraged in the things of the Lord? And so here we go, Galatians chapter 5. And let's go ahead and look at verses 13 to 26. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. Then I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to go back and kind of work our way through it. It's not going to be a word by word or even phrase by phrase, but just give you some highlights from this passage. I've titled this message "Hurts That Come from Church." Okay, and it's sad. It's sad that a lot of hurts come from church and people that are closest to us. And so we want the scriptures to help us and teach us in this place. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, and let's start with verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you betime past, or tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. God, would you help us as we go through this passage, that we would learn some things this morning about walking in the Spirit rather than the flesh. You know, Lord, that the flesh gets us in trouble. The flesh is the thing that causes the hurt, that it's right inside this building. And God, we really can't afford to do that. We need to be together. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to make sense of this passage. And Lord, not only make sense of the truths, the doctrines that are given here, but that we could make it practical and livable, that we would do this on a daily basis. God, that we would be together. So God, you be glorified through this passage and what we do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go back to verse 13, and let's look at the first part of this verse. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Notice he mentions about liberty. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You know that God has called us to liberty, and I'm grateful for liberty. Do you like to be free? You know, freedom is a wonderful thing. There are many places you go in the world that you're not free. And to tell you the truth, there are places in the United States you go that you're not free. Now, yes, free in certain ways, but maybe at work you're not free to share and express your beliefs or your thoughts on certain things. You know, maybe with certain family members you don't feel free to be able to speak or to talk or to live or to act the way you would like to. And so you understand what it means to be free and sometimes what it means to not be free. And freedom is a wonderful thing that we all love, we all enjoy when there is a freedom, a liberty. Now here, Paul is referring to, and Galatians speaks on liberties. The fact of the matter is when we got saved, God freed us. God freed us to live the Christian life out of and from underneath of bondage. Isn't that a blessing? I'm going to just tell you something. Most of the religions of the world are worshiping, if I can say that. They're worshiping. They're doing certain things. They're maybe even getting into the Word of God and they're living certain lives. But let me say, friend, they are not under liberty. Now, they should be, but they're not. What I mean by that is this, and Paul addresses this, many people are under the yoke of bondage of what used to be considered and called the law. Now, I don't think that there are still, by the way, there are still some people that are living today that put themselves under the law. And you know certain groups that would place themselves underneath the Mosaic law. There are some people that might not say the Mosaic law, but they still live that mentality that they must live and do certain works in order to please God. Now, my friend, it is true that when we do right, no doubt God is pleased. But do you know that the only way that God is pleased is in and through the person of Jesus Christ? You could do good things every day of your life, and if it weren't for the work, the finished work, of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection power that freed us, we could not please God. It would be impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith and trust in God, it is impossible to please Him. Now, as a Christian, you've been freed, and it is possible to please Him. And God is pleased as you serve Him. There's no doubt, but understand that worship of the Lord is only made possible through the person of Jesus Christ. And so praise the Lord through Jesus Christ. But my friends, can I say this? There are many people that are in churches this morning that are not living in the liberty wherewith they have been made free. People are still living, even Christians that don't believe that we are under the law, still do things because they feel like they've got to do them in their own selves in order to please God. Living under bondage, living according to a rule, living according to a certain standard that if I don't do this, you know, God is going to hate me and God's going to put His fist on me. Folks, God has given us liberty, but the liberty in which He's given to us is not so that we can have salvation. We already have our salvation. The liberty is given to us so that we can do something, and that's serve God and serve other people. God has freed us to enjoy the Christian life under the perfect scenario that we could have. Do you know this? Listen, do you know that the best life that a Christian can live is a life underneath the authority and the details and the life that God has given to us through the person of Jesus Christ? That is the best life that a Christian could ever live. Don't be fooled into thinking that if you had what your neighbor had, that your life could be more free. Don't think that if you had the life of your friend that goes to that less the church that doesn't have so many rules, that your life would be free. We've gone over the idea of legalism and license. And this morning we're talking a little bit with the freedom underneath legalism. But my friend, be careful that you don't just think and trick yourself into thinking that license and the ability to do whatever I want is going to free you and you're going to enjoy it. In fact, in this passage, it tells us that we live that life free to do whatever I want. It is actually going to hurt the cause of Christ, and it's going to hurt your brothers and sisters in this church. You know, if you came to church this morning and vaunting your liberties to do and act and be and say the things that you want to say for you, you know what? You know who's at stake and who is at expense? It's your brother and sister that's sitting all around you. And when we live in the flesh, when we live for ourselves, other people are at stake. We are going to hurt. That is human nature. You live the way you want to, and you're going to hurt other people. It's me against you. Have we seen that in history and in the world on how people have lived that way? The survival of the fittest mentality? Where does that lead? Well, it leads to destruction. And I tell you what, this passage says, and it also leads to the destruction of the church. Are freedoms and liberties in the Christian life a blessing? Yes, they are. But the freedoms of life that God has given to us in the Christian life are only good so as long as it's done through the Holy Spirit of God. God did not save us. God did not free us. God did not liberate us to be self-satisfying. Rather, he freed us so that we can serve. Liberties in the Christian life are given so that I am free to be to, of course, bring honor and glory to God, but I am free to do what I can to be a blessing to one another. Did you hear that? See, a lot of people are very confused with Christian liberty. And they define Christian liberty as, listen, God has saved me and I have a freedom to live and think and act and be what I feel is right. That could never be so far away from what God's word has given in his word. God never gave us liberties for ourselves as an occasion to please ourselves. God freed us so that we can live our lives in thanksgiving to him, to show him honor and glory, and to edify and build and strengthen one another. That's why you're free. That's why God has loosened your chains. Please understand that. It is not the way so many people think of free to serve and free from the law. Are you thankful that you don't have to be under the Old Testament Jewish Mosaic law any longer? Wow, can you imagine if we had all those things? Folks, let me tell you, God has made us free through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. We are free to serve. We are free to live. We are free to worship. We are free in as long as it's done through the Spirit. Praise the Lord for the freedom. In this church, folks, you are free to live the Christian life so that when you show up here, when you live it through your week as a member or attender of Faith Bible Church, God has made you free so that you can be a blessing to the 80 people or so that are here around you. Wow, God has given me, like we're talking about on Sunday evenings occasionally, that we have been gifted. You know where people went wrong on the gifts is they think that God gave them gifts for themselves. And they use it to make money. Do you know there are people out there, and I don't even know if it's really their gifting, but they are using God's gifts that he gave to them to make money and wealth for themselves. Turn on your television and see the people that are there preaching. I'm not saying everyone. I cannot judge everyone. But I can assure you there are people out there that are doing it for themselves. They're trying to get for themselves. There are people out there that are doing things and holding seminars and writing books because they are trying to accumulate things for themselves. God never gave us spiritual gifts for ourselves. God never gave the Holy Spirit for ourselves. And God never gave us to be liberated and free for our own selves. At church, okay, you hear, and every as I look around, there are different people in different ministries, different gifts, different functions, different parts of the body. God likens the church to a body. We can't get away from that because he did that. And so it's a good illustration. The body has to work together. Some of you got up this morning and part of your body was not working with the other body parts. And you struggled with it, and you know you had to slap your arm 10 times, you know, to get it to wake up, or you know, some of your arms fell asleep, you know, and you had to, I might do that occasionally, and they're not working properly, and you had to wake it up. It's not fun, is it, when parts of the body are not working? Would you agree? What do you think, Skip? It's not very fun when parts of the body are not working. You know, we want all, and when all body parts are in, that's when we feel good, and we desire, every one of us desires that. We desire that. Folks, God desires, and we ought to desire the whole body working properly. But you see that our flesh oftentimes gets in the way. But free and liberated to be a blessing to that other body part. So you're here at this church, and you have a different place, you have a different function, you have a different role maybe, but it takes everybody. And as we are in a, not so much, even though it is important right now, by the way, your role is important right now. You say, all I'm doing is sitting here. Well, you could sit here to distract. You could sit here to daydream. You could sit here. You could sit here to be an example. You could sit here to listen. You could sit here to But even you're sitting here, you can sit here in sin, you can sit here right with God. By the way, does that affect the body? It does. You know what? For people that come to church that are living in sin and to come and look good and sit here, folks, I want to tell you that hinders and destroys the body. It is important how you live and act, and the body of Christ is at stake. It is important. But even aside from that, when we go out into the foyer, when we go back afterwards into the fellowship hall and we eat and we come back and we have more time to fellowship and then we come back in here, brothers and sisters, listen, how you live and how you speak and how you talk and how you walk and how you act is going to make an impact on other people. And it's going to be positive and edifying, or it's going to be negative and tearing down. Do you know that with a Christian life, there is no neutral ground? You say, but Pastor, all I was doing was walking down the hallway. And I understand that it seems very neutral, but you can easily hold yourself and carry yourself and act in a way that is not edifying to people, hurtful to people, maybe destroying their desire to come and worship. By the way, young people and all people, this afternoon we're going to be looking at, kids, we're going to be looking at two boys that were part of a family. Two boys, two brothers that made a big impact on the people around them. Now, it wasn't a church because it was in the Old Testament and there wasn't a church back then, but it was God's people. They made a big impact, two boys. And we're going to learn about that. And I'll tell you what, it made a big impact. And I want to say this. You here that come here, you say, well, I'm just kind of neutral. Nobody notices me. That's what the devil wants you to think. We're either making a positive impact or negative impact. And how you live and respond. Okay, so somebody comes up to you afterwards. You know, we sing an invitation song and somebody prays and then the piano or the organ plays a little bit and people go out and people are shaking hands and you're talking. And somebody comes up to you and says something and right away you're a little bit tested, like, why did they say that? Boy, it seems like, you know, they just said something a little bit short to me. And by the way, that person that said that's what we're talking about. What are you saying? What are your words? What are your actions? How are your reactions when people talk to you? Are we judging? Are we quick to condemn? Are we blaming? You know, it's easy to blame. Do you know one of the safest places to be is if you are good at blaming other people? It's amazing how we, when something negative happens, we don't want people to think that it's us, and we quickly point the finger towards somebody else to get it off of us. Now, I don't think you have to work very hard to think through that one. Is that edifying or is that tearing down? Blaming other people, of course it's tearing down, and you're not going to help. But somebody comes up to you and says something, and they're wrong in it. But how are you responding? Maybe they blamed you. What's the normal response in a human life when people blame us? What are we quick to do? Defend, right? And we quickly go to exactly what they're doing. And we give excuses, we give reasons, or we point another finger and said, actually it was them. And I cannot give you all of the scenarios and examples that we would face even after a service like this morning, but I want to simply say, I want you to be thinking about that sort of a time, because that is really what we're talking about. Are you in the foyer living in the Spirit of God underneath His control, or are you in the flesh and really defending yourself? Now, he started off by saying, you've been given liberties. But don't use those liberties for an occasion to the flesh. And what I'm saying is this, so you're free. God has freed you. You're not under the law. You're not under rules and regulations. But you're not liberated to do and please yourself. And so when somebody blames, my natural response when somebody blames me, Pastor, you know, why did, you know, you should have thought through that. Here's the typical one. You know, I preach a message And which is never, I don't know that I've hardly ever preached a message that was supposed to be all, encompassing of the whole topic or subject in one thing. You know, you preach a message and you walk out and somebody says, well, you forgot this or you didn't say this. Now, likely I did. Likely I've even made many mistakes before. I've made dumb mistakes before, and said things that afterwards I was like, why did I say that? Some of what I did wrong in it. In some cases, I didn't do anything wrong. I just made a mistake. But then somebody tells you about it, and whether they were right or wrong in telling you, quickly what comes to me is what? If I'm in the flesh, do you know what I quickly want to do? Defend myself. I want to give a reason. Now wait a second, and do one of these. But you know what? That is a work of the flesh. And that is not going to help that other person. That's not going to edify and encourage anybody. No, I've got to take it differently. I might be out, one of you might be out there and maybe you're in charge of opening and closing doors, and somebody comes by and says, boy, I don't know what you were doing this morning. You must have been sleeping over there because you didn't get the door for me. And they said it with a big old smile. A lot of times people, but they said it with a big old smile, and and you're the usher, and you miss it, and what are you thinking? And right away, a lot of times, I'm trying to get you into the atmosphere here of what we're talking about. Right away, your thoughts are, you didn't see somebody talking to me, and I was actually ministering to somebody else, and they were telling me. You see, I'll tell you, things like this happen over and over and over when we get out there, or when we're standing here, when we are ministering, or we're going through. Now, today it's not a line because you hopefully brought your own lunch, but when we're doing things back there and you're wondering, like, why did he take such a big piece of pie? What does he think, that he's the most important here? Or why did she, why did she say that? Like, I made this dish and somebody looks at it and says, boy, that looks dry. Now we laugh at all that, but doesn't stuff like that happen? Now let's take a pause. Folks, we need to, before we ever talk, we need to say, Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Do you realize that dumb little statements hurt people? And you have maybe been the recipient of some of those. Oh, man. I mean, how many times have I said something that I wish I had not? Well, I wish that person would just stop telling stories. This saying things, and a lot of the things that we're talking about, we're going to get the passage here in just a moment, but a lot of this comes through what we say. Sometimes through what we don't say. Somebody comes up to us and maybe they're hurting and they tell us about certain things and we switch and we tell them about how we're struggling. Ever had that happen? Somebody's telling you just about a struggle that they had this week, and I was like, I say, yeah, well, that happened to me too. And you just chopped off what they were doing. You just strung them up and let me trump that one. Let me give you a bigger one. Let me tell you, that was nothing compared to what I went through. I'm going to tell you something. That's hurts. And we're talking about hurts in the church. So what you say, what you don't say, how you act and how you're, see, when we are given liberties, our tendency is to use them for self. Isn't that natural? I'm liberated. I'm free. I can live the way I want. I can talk the way I want. I can act the way I want. But the fact is, the matter is at people's, it's at people's expense. Any one of us live the way we want to live, and people are going to be hurt. That's why there's so much hurt in the church. Because it's people living in their liberty, and that, well, I can say that. I'm not scared to say anything. I'm blunt with my tongue. I don't mind saying it. I'll say it the way it is. And right, there will be a lot of hurt people around you. God didn't liberate us to have a free tongue. God didn't liberate us to say the way it is. God freed us to edify one another. God freed us to help people. God freed us. He liberated us so that when people walk away from your presence, they feel encouraged to do right, to continue on in the things of the Lord. And so as we're going through this passage, I want you to be thinking about what I've been trying to paint the picture of, you know, whether it's in the fellowship hall with food. You know, why are you eating so little? Why are you eating so much? Why are you eating that? You know, and again, it comes in all shapes and sizes. It comes in the foyer with how people serve and how people act and what people wear and what people do. And this and that, and we can be so critical of the people around us, but this is what we're talking about here. Life, free life in the church. I want you to see a truth. Notice what is said here, okay? So liberties are brought up in this verse, in verse 13. So he says, "For brethren, we have been called into liberty," but he's got a warning here. He's got some truth to give here. So God has freed us, correct? And are we thankful for the freedom? Yes. Praise the Lord, we're free to serve, free to live for Him, free to edify. Praise the Lord, we're free and we're not under the bondage of the law. Praise the Lord for freedom. But he says, only. So there's a rule here. He says, listen, but there's some truth here that you need to understand about your freedom. He says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. What he's talking about, don't use this liberty for yourself. For self-growth. Any time that we use our liberty for self, it's in the flesh. We are flesh living, and that is not of the Spirit. Did you hear that? That is not Spirit living. And by the way, you're in one or the other. You can never be in both. One or the other. Flesh, Spirit. So with our liberties, we need to be careful with selfishness. Is selfishness something that we all battle? It is, because, well, I'm me. I mean, it makes sense, because I, you know, yes, as a husband and as a father, I've got, you know, six other people to take care of. And as a pastor, I've got other people to take care of. But the fact of the matter is of course I think of myself, because I am myself. I've got to, you know, when I dress in the morning, I've got to think for myself. You know, when I eat, I've got to think for myself. And so it's natural. But just because it's natural doesn't mean it's right. And so here he's saying, don't use it for selfishness. So I want you to think about selfishness when you're in the fellowship hall, or selfishness when you're in the foyer, or selfishness when you're sitting here listening. You have things that will please you. Things that you would like to be done, or things that you wish wouldn't be done, or I don't understand why. I want you to think about those things that frustrate you about other people in church. And he warns us here. He says, be careful with being selfish. Maybe you ought to think about somebody else, and maybe you ought to think about their situation. Maybe you think about their circumstances. What has this person gone through? What are they going through right now? Have you considered other people? Philippians chapter 2 says that we ought to consider others rather than ourselves, right? I mean, think about them. You know, when we're getting annoyed with other people and what they're doing, I can't believe, why are they doing this? Why are they acting this way? What we ought to be doing is thinking, you know what? There's a reason why those people are doing it, and it's time that I try to be a blessing and help to that person. I don't know what they're going through. I don't, but I need to serve other people. He tells us here. He says, don't use the liberties for occasion of the flesh. But notice he says, but by love, serve one another. Who ought we to be thinking about when we're at church? Who? Others, not you. You say, but preacher, you know, God liberated me and I'm free to have, and I should be able to freely come to church and worship the way that I want to. And God says, no. You're free to come to show up at this church and be a blessing to that other person that is annoying you. You're here to help that person that you say, I don't know why they told me that. You know, what do they think? It's my job to do all this and to do all that. You know, people have different responsibilities here in the church. And you go to them and you say, hey, I just wanted you to know. And you're kind of like, you look at them and it's like, why can't you do it? You know, just because this is my position, you know, why do you got to tell me about it? Well, you just, you know, and it's so much on my mind that we might not even be mean, but we say something that doesn't help that person feel good about it, and they walk away, you know, kind of like a little puppy would do with his tail between his legs, and he's like, okay, I'm sorry. And my question to you is that you? And what is the answer? When a person responds that way and they hurt somebody else, was that person living in the spirit or their flesh? What's the answer? That is 100% flesh, because flesh doesn't hurt people. Flesh hurts people. Spirit doesn't hurt people. Do you understand the two there? I kind of got messed up in what I said. When we're in the flesh, we are going to hurt people. When we're in the spirit, we are encouraging people. And it hits us everywhere we go, because there's lots of conversing, there's lots of responding, because we're people that have tendencies to hurt other people. And so the question is how are we responding? And so Paul here, he says, you've got to be careful. And it's the same problem that Paul is addressing in Corinth with the gifts. He said, listen, anytime you take what God has given to you and you use it for yourself, there's going to be problems. And so we'll deal with the gifts later, but that's what he says. So he says, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. The focus in our ministry at church is not ourselves, it's others. It's others. What am I doing for others? How am I helping them? Spirit or flesh? And so we go back to the back, and somebody says this, you know, and they didn't know whose, you know, crock pot it was with soup in it or whatever. They didn't know who, you know, whatever the case. And somebody says something, and you know, you cannot help what the other person says. Let me take a time out. And by the way, it's not, if you go out into the foyer after church and somebody says something, you shouldn't be thinking, boy, they didn't listen to the preacher this morning. As a matter of fact, you're doing exactly what you missed it also. Are you getting that? Because who's the focus when you said, boy, they should have been listening to the preacher? You're thinking about yourself. Isn't it amazing how selfish we are? I'm trying to give you examples of things that really come up, and I've been guilty of many of them. We're thinking about ourselves. You know, if we go out there and somebody says something, forget what they say, and you need to be thinking, Lord, help me to respond in a spirit-like manner. Help me to be gracious. Help me to be loving. Help me to be caring. Even if they just killed my story and they've got another story, then you listen and care. Care about it. Just sit there and engage yourself with what's going on, because you have a responsibility to edify. It doesn't matter what they did to you. Forget that. How are you going to respond to them? So we need to be so careful. So what happens if you use liberty to be self-focused? Notice in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. You know what the warning to the church is here? A church that lives in the flesh, what's the end result? Destruction. If everybody goes around biting each other, what's going to be left? It's kind of a gross statement, you know, like thinking, you know, not literally biting, but, you know, if everybody went around taking a hunk out of everybody else, there would be nobody left, right? Well, I guess the last person standing, but there would be no church, right? I know it sounds funny, but you know, do you know that in America and in the world, we're living in churches that are, if you could physically walk around, you'd be like, man, everybody's got teeth marks everywhere. There's hunks, you know, that guy doesn't even have an arm. That guy doesn't have a leg. That guy, you know, and you know, if you could really physically see the truth of what is being given, I think it would be gruesome. I would say, I'm not ever going back to that church, because it's a bloody mess. Do you think that grieves the Lord? It does. And why? Because people have been taking their Christian liberties and they're living for themselves rather than other people. So he gives, and here's the test. What does the church look like? Is there blood all over the carpets, or is this a clean place? You see, we tend to bite and devour one another. This is a work of the flesh. When you're self-focused, you will hurt other people. Did you catch that? When you are self-focused, living in the flesh, you will hurt other people. And by the way, the opposite is true. When you're hurting other people, you are living in the flesh. Both are true. Let me say that again. When you're self-focused and you're living in the flesh, you are going to hurt people. And when you hurt people, it's because you've been walking in the flesh. That's very sobering. Because when I say something to somebody, and I can tell that I said the wrong thing and they're hurt, there's only one conclusion. Sean, you were in the flesh. And there was not one ounce of spirit involved with that. Wow. Now let's look at the theology, some theology here for just a moment. It's very important that we understand some truth, some real things here. What is, I want you to think, just think with me. You're not going to get this from the passage right here. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. What is our position in Christ? When you got saved, what did the Holy Spirit do for each one of us? What did He do with us? He took us and He placed us where? In Christ, right? Picture a big bubble right here. And let's just say that this bubble is Christ. This is the sphere of Christ. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit took me and He placed me into this bubble. Okay, can you see it? I am now in Christ. I got saved and I've been placed into Christ. So everything about my environment is Christ. I have what He has. The problem is that sometimes we choose to try to penetrate the bubble and get out. Why would we do that? I don't know. Now, as we sit here in church, we would all agree, that doesn't make sense, does it? If I'm all in Christ, why would I want to get out, right? You know, it's kind of like the prisoner that's in the prisoner, he was in prison, and then all of a sudden, whether it was parole or something like that, he gets out. He's free. Why would he try to penetrate this prison cell again? That doesn't make sense, does it? No, I know. Some of you are thinking, yeah, well, they get handouts, they get things, and, you know, of course, it's a better life for some of those people. And that's sad, by the way. That's sad that some people feel like the best, safest places they can be, provisions for, is, you know, in the prison. And so they do that. But that's not what we're talking about here. You know, none of us want to be in prison in normal conditions, and so we don't want to, and we would all shake our heads and say, why would we want to do that? Folks, when we're in Christ, why would we ever try to get out? Everything is good here. Everything is perfect. Everything is best for us. And we try to penetrate the bubble and get out. Now, the fact of the matter is when we are saved, we've been baptized by the Spirit into the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are a new creature, right? We're a new creation. We have been the old, bad, ugly, everything has been taken away, and now I'm a new creation, and that's all wonderful. We're a new creation. The Bible says that now we have a new Father. And what I mean by that, you know that John chapter, was it 8, that says that the devil is the father of lies? I might be in the wrong place, but you know what I'm talking about here. The devil is the father of lies. What does it mean that he's the father of? It means he's the originator of it. All lies come from the devil, right? So do you understand? Sometimes we think as father is just, you know, in life, father, son. But understand, father also means the source, the place of where it comes from. So if the devil is the father of lies, we just say that all lies come from, they originate from the father of lies. Okay, when you get saved, you have a new father. Not just the Father, God the Father, but you have a new source of everything. A new origination, you know. Now I can start fresh. There's a new part of life. So you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the person of Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. You've got a new father or a new motivation, a new start to life. And the produce that comes from this new life that I've given is very practically listed for us in Galatians chapter 5, referred to the fruits of the Spirit, right? That's what comes from this life. And we also read what comes from this life also, right? You get out of that, and there's another set of ways that people live. That's out of Christ. You've got both, one or the other, and you can't, you know, as much as some people try, you cannot live in both bubbles. You can't put one foot inside the bubble, and you can't put one foot outside the bubble. A lot of Christians are trying that today. You cannot do it. God says that it's either, you're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. One or the other. God has, you know, when we look at the theology behind this, God has placed us into Himself. He has put us in here, and we have this life, and the life that He's given are the works that we just read, and we read some tremendous things. You know, you look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's inside that realm. When you are baptized into Christ, this is the fruit that comes from, the produce that comes from this farm right here is love. That's what's going to be produced when you're in that. Love. Rather than hate, right? And we could go through all these, joy rather than sorrow or discontentment, and peace rather than strife. And of course they go on and on and back and forth with this. So when we're saved, really quickly, one more time, when we're saved, we're placed into this realm, and this is the new life, the new creation. This is the type of living that we should be in, okay? So you understand that in theology. It's flesh against the Spirit. One edifies, one tears down. You see that in verses 14 and 15. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but if ye divide and... if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one of another. So what's the answer to all of this? And this is going to be the conclusion. What's the answer? What does he tell us in verse 16? He says, this I say then. So he said, I'm going to tell you the answer to this. Here's the problem of the problems that happen in the foyer, in the fellowship hall, and in the kitchen, and in the classroom, or sitting right here. He said, here's the answer. And it's very simple. He says in verse 16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you won't hurt your brother and sister. Walk in the Spirit and when they hurt you, you won't slam back at them. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The word walk means to pass one's life. You see, our living, our words, our responses must match the theology and what God has placed us in. This is what He has done for you, but He's saying, you need to act what I've done for you. Be what I've made you. I've placed you here. This is the life you have. Don't talk like this life. Talk like that life. Walk in the Spirit. Our actions must match our reality. So when we go out there and somebody looks at us and says, boy, you must not have got a lot of sleep last night. And you're thinking, why'd you say that? Well, you were sleeping the whole message. And you're like, okay. And you're doing one of these things, and you're thinking really fast. What can I say? Well, I was up. You don't know. I was up till 2 o'clock last night. You know, and I, when 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 that happens, whenever you're put into it, and I'll tell you, there are going to be somebody who's going to be placed into this temptation as soon as we, because we're people. Folks, can I tell you this? Just face it. Fact. There's going to be hurt because we're people. There's going to be hurt. And we need to try not to, but there's going to be hurt. But when somebody says that dumb thing to you and they do it, and all of a sudden, and you know what feeling I'm talking about, right inside there, immediately it's like immediate hurt, and then there's a little bit of a welling up, and you're either going to tear up and cry. Some people, that's their mentality, is tear up and cry. The other person, or they're going to, you know, start to fight. When that comes, we got to say, now this is the reality. He's placed me here. He gets that? This is the reality. This is where he's placed me. He has made me to have love, joy, peace. And I know this is a really long second while you're thinking all this. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. And all those other things he said. But in a quick second, you got to review those things and you've got to be able to turn in that split second and you've got to show love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, and patience, and all those things. You see, that's living in truth. Is it important in theology we understand what has happened to us? It is, because you are not out there any longer. Amen? You're not out there anymore. I have been freed. I've been liberated from ripping and tearing at people. I've been freed from that. Now I live in this, and I've got to be reminded of it. So folks, the conclusion of the matter is this. You need to live in what Christ has made you, what the Holy Spirit has baptized you into. You need to live that way. And when you live in that bubble, when you act and you respond to that bubble, you know that there would never, if everybody lived in reality of a life in Christ, there would never, ever be any hurt. Now again, I understand we're people. But we have a responsibility before one another to walk in the Spirit. And when you do, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As I close, I'll say this. But walking in the Spirit is impossible if you've never been born into the Spirit. You say, preacher, what do you mean? If you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that did the work for you, if you are not depending upon Christ to save you out of hell and to himself, if you've never trusted in Christ for eternal salvation, it's impossible to walk in the Spirit. Because those that walk in the Spirit are those that are alive in the Spirit. And the passage talks about that. And so I ask you, have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ? Because the kind of responding that we're talking about in that bubble is impossible for you unless you are in the Spirit, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and have accepted that. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted, would you do that today? Heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, preacher, this morning, you know what was given to me? I definitely recognize that there have been times in my life. In fact, there's times here at Faith, you know, Bible Church that I do not respond. Man, I don't respond in the Spirit. There have been times I've responded in the flesh and I know that I've hurt people. And man, I needed this morning. You say, but by God's grace, I want to change. I want to walk in the Spirit. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, would you just simply raise your hand today? You say, you know what? I've been convicted this morning. There are times that I do not walk in the Spirit. Many, many hands. You can put your hands down. Praise God. You know what? That God's working, and I hope it's going to make a difference. The answer is walking in the Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, it's impossible for me to walk in the Spirit because I've never trusted Jesus Christ. You know what? I don't know where I'd go if I died today. I don't have hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, I'm here this morning. I've never done that, but I would like to know. Anybody like that? You just raise your hand. Anybody like that? You've never trusted Jesus Christ. You need to know where you're going when you die. Anybody like that? You say, I don't know where I'm going when I die. I'd like to know, though. God, I pray that you would help these people. Lord, help us to live in the Spirit. Help us to walk in the Spirit. And the results are going to be a church that won't be hurt. Lord, help us. We need help. God, thank you for what you've given this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.